This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, December 9th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Mapping a path for the future, Google plans to combine the teams working on its two mapping services, Waze and Maps. It's part of parent company Alphabet's efforts to run things more efficiently. But what'll it mean for people who work in those groups and for users of both products? On today's show, our Alphabet reporter Miles Krupa will break that all down for us. That's after these headlines. The Federal Trade Commission is suing Microsoft to block its plan to buy gaming giant Activision Blizzard for $75 billion in cash. It's one of the biggest shots the Biden administration has taken to halt mergers between tech giants. The FTC says the deal is illegal and that it would give Microsoft the ability to control how consumers, beyond users of its own Xbox, get to play Activision games. Our reporter Sarah Needleman has more.
The agency said that Microsoft could potentially raise prices for people who don't use Microsoft's hardware to access Activision's games or even cut off access entirely. Basically, the suit sets the stage for a court challenge over the deal. It would be Microsoft's biggest deal ever. And we know that its rival Sony has been one of the biggest critics of this deal. And in addition to FTC's lawsuit, we know that regulators in Europe have also been investigating the deal. They raised concerns that it would be harmful to competition and to consumers.
Microsoft said it continues to believe the deal would expand competition and create more opportunities for gamers and game developers. And that wasn't the only move the FTC took against a big tech firm yesterday. It also asked a judge to halt Meta's planned acquisition of Within Unlimited, the startup that makes the virtual reality fitness game Supernatural. The case is being closely watched because it's based on an unusual theory, focusing on potential future competition in an industry that's still developing, meaning the metaverse. The case is also widely seen as emblematic of FTC Chair Lina Khan's criticism of big tech. For its part, Meta said the FTC's case is based on ideology and speculation, not evidence of anti-competitive conduct. The judge will hear arguments and testimony over 2 weeks, and Meta's CEO Mark Zuckerberg is listed as a potential witness. We report exclusively, the founder of Foxconn, Terry Guo, played a major role in more quickly dismantling China's zero-COVID policies. Sources say Guo sent a letter to Chinese leaders just over a month ago, warning that strict COVID controls would threaten the country's central position in global supply chains, and he demanded more transparency into restrictions on the company's workers. Chinese health officials and government advisors seized on the letter to boost the case for easing China's COVID controls, according to people familiar with the matter. Neither Foxconn nor China's State Council Information Office responded to requests for comment. Amazon is rolling out a new TikTok-like feature that'll let customers buy products from a customized feed of photos and videos. The feature, which we previously told you Amazon was testing, launched with select customers yesterday, and the company plans to make it available across the U.S. in the coming months. Our reporter Sebastian Herrera says Amazon isn't the only company trying to combine social media with e-commerce.
There's been companies like Meta, the parent company of Facebook, that have tried to mend e-commerce with social media, and you know, they have had very limited success in doing so. Obviously, TikTok is really popular in the US, but in terms of actually distributing items and having a fulfillment network, they're in the process of setting something like that up. So I think we're still much earlier phases than maybe Asia is. And I think with Amazon, they certainly have all of the fulfillment capacity to be able to fulfill products that people buy through this new feature on their app. So over time, we'll see just how much this takes off.
The new Disney Plus with ads went live yesterday. Like we've talked about on the show before, Disney's hoping to revitalize its flagship streaming service, which the company says has lost more than $8 billion over the past 3 years. The rollout comes after a few tumultuous weeks at Disney. Last month, it announced company-wide cost-cutting measures and said layoffs were likely. The board then ousted Bob Chapek as CEO and brought back former chairman and CEO Bob Iger, who told employees he wants to prioritize making Disney Plus profitable. And in 2022, the world entered the third year of the global pandemic. Supply chain shortages frustrated businesses and consumers, and a major international conflict broke out. And yet, Google's most searched term of 2022, the thing everybody most wanted to know more about, was Wordle. The online word game edged out terms like World Cup, iPhone 14, and election results for the number one spot. Our reporter Joseph De Avila has more.
You really see the search results reflect some of the biggest things that were happening around the world. And, you know, some of the top searches included what was happening in Ukraine, the death of Queen Elizabeth, and also the global phenomenon that took over a lot of people's phones, the extremely popular online word game Wordle.
And speaking of Google, the company is taking its mapping unit in a new direction. Why the change of course? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Have you ever gotten in a car and looked up directions on Google Maps, only to then check Waze to see if it has a faster route? Well, you might not realize the two services are actually both owned by Google. The units have worked mostly separately since Google bought Waze in 2013. But this week, Google's parent company Alphabet said it plans to combine them. What's behind the change, and how will employees and users be affected? Joining me to talk through that is WSJ reporter Miles Krupa, who covers all things Alphabet. Hi, Miles. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Zoe.
So what do we know about the reasons for combining Maps and Waze?
So for a long time, Maps and Waze have basically operated independently. And right now, we're in this moment where the economy is getting worse. Google is facing more pressure as advertising growth slows down. And recently, the Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, has been talking about how Google might need to reduce overlap in some products across the company. For instance, in the past, Google had Google Play Music and also YouTube Music, and they sort of brought those two things together. So Waze and Maps sort of seemed like a natural area of overlap to reduce. Google said some of the benefits from this move will be that the teams can work together on their map-making efforts. Some of these efforts were being duplicated across both Waze and Google Maps, and it doesn't make sense for those to be kept separate. So you could see it improving efficiency and potentially also improving costs down the line if they're able to find technical costs they can cut by being able to centralize some of the stuff in one organization.
What is this going to mean for the people who work in each of these units then?
So Google said there won't be any layoffs associated with this move, but Waze workers will be going to a new organization led by this executive, Chris Phillips, who leads Maps, Earth, Street View, under this organization called Geo. So these people who used to work fairly separately on two products that were in some ways competing under the same roof are now going to be, I guess, in the same room together, not just under the same roof. The idea is that they'll be collaborating more on things like navigation, how to improve the user experience on both apps, and how to learn from both apps. But I have to think it's going to be just a little awkward since they're planning to keep Waze as its own standalone app, and clearly there are people who are devoted to one or the other.
You mentioned that people are devoted to one or the other. I mean, there is somewhat of a divide between people who use Google Maps to get around and people who swear by Waze to get around. So what is this combination going to mean for users of these apps?
So far, I think it will mean very little for the users. They plan to keep Waze as a separate app, a separate brand. You know, it will be interesting to see how the Waze community reacts to this, because Waze maintains a very active community of basically unpaid freelancers who crowdsource data about traffic and are constantly updating the Waze navigation maps. So I'm sure people in the community will have thoughts about these team members now working with Google Maps.
Let's take a step back for a second. Google acquired Waze in 2013. Can you tell us a little bit about that combination over time?
Sure. So as you said, Google acquired Waze in 2013 for about $1.1 billion. It was a big acquisition for the company at the time. It drew some scrutiny from regulators worried that Google was basically eliminating its biggest competitor in Maps, but ultimately it was cleared. For the longest time, Waze was led by this CEO, Noam Barden, who was sort of the face of the company, the charismatic leader, and based on my understanding, he did a good job of sort of protecting Waze within Google and trying to keep it as an independent thing. In 2021, he actually left the company and later said that he thought Waze probably could have grown faster as an independent company and kind of hit out at the Google bureaucracy. They brought in a new CEO last year. Neha Parikh plans to exit the organization after a transition period. The reason Google gave is that because Waze is no longer an independent organization, it does not need its own CEO. What's still unclear is whether Neha will stay with Google or Alphabet in some role. So we'll have to see where she lands.
Okay, so that's the change to Waze and to Google Maps. But as you mentioned, this is part of a bigger strategy for Alphabet to deal with cost cutting. I mean, do we expect to see more steps like this at the company?
Yeah, I think we will see more stuff like this. We've already seen Google kill Stadia, which was its cloud streaming gaming service. We've seen it make cuts at an internal incubator called Area 120. So far, it's sort of small stuff around the edges, and I think we're still waiting for a really big cut. But this is maybe a sign that Sundar and the rest of the Google leadership is looking for areas where there are redundancies and where they want to reduce those.
What about investors? How are they reacting to these steps?
So far, Google has been much more cautious than almost all the other big tech companies in cutting costs and especially cutting headcount. So I think there's a general sentiment among investors that the headcount at Google is too high. There was an activist hedge fund, TCI, that wrote a letter to that effect last month. And I spoke to other shareholders who basically felt like TCI was sort of saying the quiet part out loud. So I think what investors really want to see is a headcount reduction. And to be frank, that's just very un-Googly. So I think Sundar and the rest of Google leadership is grappling with whether and how they could ever do something like that.
All right, that's our reporter, Miles Krupa. Thanks for joining us, Miles.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. We had editorial support from Falana Patterson. Our executive producer is Chris Sinsley. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.